Good morning, church. If we haven't met before, my name is Shelby and I'm one of the pastors here at Como. And today we are continuing on with our bread and butter series. How good has it been to be spending these last few weeks going back to the basics of our faith, going back to the basics of the spiritual disciplines that form the foundation of our very relationship with Jesus, getting to spend time with Jesus in all of these disciplines. Today we are going to be continuing on and we're going to be unpacking together reading the Bible. So I get to go through reading the Bible today, which I'm so excited about because I don't know about you, but Scripture's been a pretty important part of my life and it's a pretty important discipline for us to be considering. We're going to be looking at 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. As we do. So if you've got your Bibles, 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, and we're going to have it up on the screen and we're just going to dive straight in and read it together. Shall we do that? Great, let's do it. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is God-breathed. It is from God. It is useful. Scripture is good. So we should read it, right? We know this. We know Scripture is good. We know we should read it. I'm not making any crazy claims here, anything too new, anything too exciting. We know that the Bible is good for us to be reading. So my question then is, why do so many of us struggle to immerse ourselves in the Scripture consistently and regularly as a practice in our own lives? I remember in my early days at Bible college, one of the lecturers, he was so passionate about this topic, and I get it. I think when I think about it, he was just so passionate about his time he had with us, about raising up the next generation, sending out the next generation of pastors, and he didn't want to be responsible for sending out the next generation of Pharisees, religious leaders who knew a lot, had studied a lot, but hadn't actually been transformed by the things that they had learned. He was so passionate. And I remember one day, whilst teaching a room full of us, he got so animated, he was yelling at us. He basically was saying that he had read a recent study that had said that only 50% of students at theological college were starting their day in Scripture and daily devotion. He shared this as an outrage. We have to do better. This is unacceptable. Every Christian should start their day in daily devotion, Scripture and prayer. And if our theological students can't be doing it, what hope does the rest of the church have? I remember walking away from that lecturer completely dejected, completely full of shame, because I had not been starting my day every day with an hour of prayer and Scripture and daily devotion. I had not been doing that. And I thought, my goodness, I'm not even worthy to be a Christian, let alone to graduate and lead a church. I'm sure my lecturer wasn't trying to shame any of us. But the result was exactly that. 50% not starting their day in Scripture and prayer. I don't know where my lecturer got that statistic, but I am curious, what would our statistic be? And don't worry, I'm not going to conduct a research study today. You can all just breathe, it's all right. But I do wonder if we had to guess, if you had to guess, considering all of the people who make up our church family, our church community, what statistic would you guess of us start our day? Let's be a little bit more flexible. Why is it going to be the morning? How many of us spend time each day in Scripture and prayer, daily devotion? And furthermore, which side of that statistic would you place yourself on? Would you say, I make up the percentage of us that do? I spend time in God's Word every day, whatever that looks like, whatever time of day that is, or I don't. Which side of that statistic do you place yourself on? It would be my guess, if we are like most Christians and most Christian communities, it would be my guess that majority of us struggle to consistently and regularly immerse ourselves in the scripture. We find ourselves with a bit of a dilemma here, don't we? We know the Bible is good. It is God-breathed. It is useful. And yet so many of us struggle to engage. How do we go about holding this tension of, I know we should all be reading the scriptures, and yet so many of us struggle? How do we hold this tension? I believe some of the wisdom we need to better hold this tension lies in 2 Timothy 3, where we started the day. And that is where we read all scripture. It's still on the screen. All scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let's consider for a moment the context that these words we are reading here. Paul wrote these words to Timothy from prison, having been locked up for his faith in Jesus. Timothy is receiving this as a younger man who we consider somewhat of a disciple of Paul. This letter, therefore, would be somewhat of a form of mentorship, of Paul saying, this is how, Timothy, you are to live out your faith. Paul is writing these words to Timothy at a time where the world around them was full of wickedness, full of imperfection. People are being persecuted for the faith, hence why Paul is locked up right now. But it's not just that. There's more. And if we were to go back earlier into chapter 3, we will see in 2 Timothy 3 to 2 to 6, it shines a light in terms of the context in which they're living. Paul says, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And hear this, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Here we find that Paul is warning Timothy that there are false Christians, false believers, wicked, depraved people worming their way into the church and to the homes of believers. Without going back and looking at the context of this chapter, or of this verse rather, we could take the first verse, which was Timothy 3, 16 to 17, as just a token verse for all of us. For us in our context, the Bible is from God. It is useful. It is useful for us. And so it is good and right and proper that we read it so that we can be equipped. And then we leave church on a Sunday and we go out into our weeks and we find ourselves with this dilemma. Reading the Bible is good. It's from God. And yet so many of us struggle to do it. We find ourselves with this problem, but that was never what Paul was saying. He was never trying to present us with this problem. He was saying to Timothy, hey, Timothy, you live in a world that is imperfect. You are surrounded by corruption. You are going to go out into the world and you're going to hear a whole bunch of lies. Lies about Jesus, lies about God, lies about the church. And then you're going to come into the body of believers and it's going to be a little bit more difficult to spot. But again, you're going to find lies. People who have a form of godliness and yet they're actually corrupt, deceited, lovers of self, lovers of God. They are people who have their bread and butter practices down pat. They tick all of the boxes and yet they haven't actually let God do his transformative work in their hearts and their souls and their minds. It is your job then, Timothy, to stand firm in the face of all of these lies and stand firm in the truth. The truth is what I, Paul, have taught you. And the truth comes from the Holy Scriptures. You can trust the Holy Scriptures because they are God-breathed. They are from God. They are God's words. You can trust them. This isn't all just so we can know a whole bunch of stuff. It's not about filling ourselves with a whole bunch of head knowledge, is it? It's not so that God can jump out from a cloud, give us a pop quiz, see how much we know, give us a gold star and then disappear again. That's not the use or the purpose of Scripture, is it? Scripture has a much deeper purpose, a much greater use for our lives. It's about transformation. It's about the lifelong journey we each take to become spiritually mature. It does not matter if we are 10 years old or 100 years old. We never stop on this lifelong journey of transformation. There is always more growth to be done. God is not interested in our forms or our practices of godliness if we then deny the actual transforming power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Scripture is useful to transform our belief so that we can stand firm in our Christian faith and not be swayed by the world so easily. It's got a use, it's got a purpose. But verse 17, where we were before, says it's not just about transforming our belief. It takes it a step further. Remember what we had up on the screen earlier. It said, so that the servant of God, that's you and I, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Yes, Scripture gives us what we need to know, but it also gives us what we need to go out and live it out and apply it into our everyday lives. It also has the power, if we let it, to transform our behaviour, our outward actions. I wonder, when was the last time you were reading Scripture and the words jumped out of the page, took hold of your heart, and was the catalyst for change in your life? See, when it comes to reading our Bibles, are we allowing the power to truly transform us? Or are we simply trying to uphold a form of godliness but denying its power? When we realise that the Bible is here as a tool for transformation, both for our belief and our behaviours, in some ways it convicts us. It calls us out, calls us to our higher standard. But in many ways, it's actually quite freeing. You see, God sees all of those who we look to, who are doing all of the things right, all of the outward steps. And he goes, no, there's more to it than that. That's not what I'm calling you to. That is not what I'm asking of you. When we think back to all of the barriers in our lives, what are the barriers holding us back? Why is it so difficult for us to be engaging with Scripture? Maybe for you it's, I feel like I'm not smart enough. I feel like I'm not a good enough reader. I feel like when I try to engage with the words on the page, I don't understand enough of it. Maybe for you, you're in a space of spiritual dryness and you feel like even if you were to sit down and read the Scriptures, there's such a disconnect that it feels hard to really engage and find life in it. Perhaps yours is practical. You're busy. You're tired. It's just another thing to try to fit in. I think about for myself and the shame that I carried walking away from my lecturer. I'm not good enough. I'm a part of the problem. I'm not even worthy to be a Christian, let alone anything else. Paul is not trying to form Timothy into some perfect religious leader who ticks all of these outward boxes, but rather the message is, yeah, the world is a pretty imperfect place, Timothy, and you are as vulnerable as the rest of us in being swayed, but it's okay because I have given you this divine gift of the Holy Scriptures. All you have to do is stand firm in it. When we approach Scripture with that mindset, we are set free. We find freedom in grace. We hear Jesus say, come as you are, and lean on the gift that God has so lovingly given you in whatever capacity or form that is accessible to you. There are many possible ways that we can approach Scripture. There doesn't have to be this black and white right or wrong way of doing it. When you walked in today, you would have received one of these. There's plenty at the back if you missed out, so make sure you grab one before you leave today. But it's a whole book of just a few little tasters of the ways we can come to Scripture. And if you turn to the first page, you'll find soap. Many of you may have come across it before. It's a really nice way to start if you are finding that it's hard to engage with your Scripture for any reason. It's a great basic tool, and I'm not going to spend too much time unpacking it right here today because, first of all, many of you will have come across it before, but it's also really self-explanatory. It's accessible for all of us. S for Scripture, reading through, meditating, or even writing it down. The point is that we don't just gloss over our reading without actually letting it to soak in. So whether we need to slow down and take it in, whether that's writing it out, meditating on it, however that sits comfortably for you. O is for observation. What do I observe in the reading? What do I notice? What is standing out to me? You may want to consider it and think about it, or you might want to write it down if you're a journaling type. Maybe you're not a journaling type and it's time to try. A is for application. What does this actually mean for my life? What am I going to do? We've already spoken about application today, haven't we? We heard that it's so important to actually allow the Scriptures to shape not only what we believe, but how we behave, what we put into action, that the Scripture is useful to equip us in our Christian walk. That's application. And P is for prayer. This is where we actually just get to have a chat with God. For me, I find it hard to focus sometimes when I'm tired, been running around with the kids, so I write it out, a letter to God. We come as we are, however we are in that moment. Of course, soap is not the only tool. We know this. There are a myriad of many others, and there's a few more in the book, your booklet. You'll find reading plans, an app you can download, Lectio Divina, which is my personal favourite. I've even thrown in Bible art journaling just to show you how unrestricted this can be, that we can come how we are in whatever way that is. The point isn't here how we choose to engage with Scripture. The point is that we do. And when we do, it's not an empty religious exercise of ticking a box, but rather we're engaging with it so that we can stand firm in our faith, so that we can transform, or God can transform, both our belief and our behaviour, and so that God can equip us as we head out into our everyday lives. Today is Inspire Sunday, which means we like to leave space for some discussion and some reflection. And I've got some questions for us, two questions to be considering. Where do I currently sit with reading the Bible regularly and consistently? What's my honest reality? And the second, which of the tools in this booklet, soap, Lectio Divina, reading plans, are you curious to try? Why that one? If you'd like to just turn to someone near you and have a bit of a chat about these two questions. But if you do, what I want to encourage you is to hold the same gracious and honest and authentic space for one another that Jesus offers us. Because perhaps you are someone who does regularly read and engage with scripture, but not all of us do, and that's okay. And we actually can be safe in saying that, actually going, no, I'm not. And these are the barriers why. Let's hold that space for one another so that we can be real and honest as we engage and disciple one another. Perhaps alternatively, you don't want to have a chat with someone today. That's okay as well. But don't allow this time to pass by. Allow this time to be a time of actual reflection, to read through the booklet and to really consider, what might I be trying this week? Consider the questions for yourself. And if all of that is just completely inaccessible and just not where you're at, perhaps you're sitting here and you're listening and you're going, yep, I hear it. The Bible is good. I should be reading it, but I'm not. And I don't see myself doing that. And there is a gap. Maybe today, over these next few minutes, while others are chatting and reflecting, maybe this is a chance for you to just have a little come as you are and have a chat with God about some of the barriers that you're facing in your life and just hand them over to God. Say, God, this is where I'm at. So we're going to have 5 minutes, maybe a little bit more, and then I'll come up and close our discussion. I wonder which tool in the booklet sparked your interest the most. I wonder in your discussions whether you discovered that you already have a whole bunch of tools and you can spy on one another in trying what you're already doing. Either way, can I encourage you this week to be intentional and to mark a time in your calendar or your diary to give one of them a try that you've never tried before, to expand your own toolkit in the way that you can engage with scripture. Perhaps you've already accepted Phil's challenge of personal fasting and you've already got that in your calendar this week. Perhaps maybe you would like to carve out some time on that day to engage in scripture in a new way or a fresh way. I do want to say, though, that if you are finding yourself in a place of spiritual dryness, if you are finding yourself in a place where the gap or the dilemma that we spoke about is very real in your life, can I encourage you to start with one simple prayer? When I was 14, a pastor told me, if your heart's not in it, then don't stress. Just ask God to put your heart in it. What prayer does he love to answer more than that? Ever since I heard those words as a teenager, I have prayed that prayer countless of times. And I know I will continue to do so in my walk. God, I'm not feeling this. Increase my desire for you. Help me draw near to you. What a simple way to start. And in my experience, it is a prayer that God does answer. Let's pray together now, shall we? God, you are good. Even when the world isn't, even when our own hearts and our own minds aren't, you are. Thank you, God, for making the way for us to just come and just come as we are. Thank you for loving us no matter what. We pray you help us step out and actively position our hearts through the bread and butter basics that we've been discussing here at church. Not so that we can simply tick some religious box, but so that we can be truly transformed by you. And God, when we come across all of the barriers in our lives that we do, help us give ourselves grace in the way that you have given us grace, but also help us overcome them. Help us prioritize you. Help us set time aside for you so that we can engage in the most beautiful relationship that you have for us with you. And God, I pray this for myself. I pray this for every single person in the room. Lord, increase our desire for you. Amen. Amen. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy in a time where the world around them seemed pretty dark, and yet Paul's letters were never filled with hopelessness. He wrote with life because he had been transformed by the source of life, God. I'm going to hand over to the team, and we're going to stand and we're going to worship, but we're going to be worshiping the God of the scriptures that we have been speaking of today. And as we do, I want you to consider that as we stand, we aren't doing it, and as we sing, we aren't doing it as a form of godliness that hasn't transformed us through its power, but rather we are standing and we are singing because we love God and we know he is here and we know he is good. He is worthy of our praise. So let's stand and let's worship.